Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Shona Project podcast. It's me, Tammy, with you today. Alison is not around today. Reason being, we're talking about a topic today that is very personal to me, and that is the topic of family separation. How we as parents, when we're going through a divorce or a separation, help our daughters through it. And that often is during a time where we're really struggling ourselves. This is something that I experienced. It's also something that our guest experienced. Dr. Mally Coyne, she's a psychologist that I really, really look up to and I really respect. I knew she would approach this topic with humility and authenticity, and I got so much from this conversation. So I think we all have something to learn from it. So here, today's episode, Dr. Mally Coyne. Hope you enjoy. Mally Coyne, welcome to the Shona Project podcast. It's great to see you again.
That's great to be here, Tammy. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I think you're brilliant, and you know, I love the way that you talk about things. And this was one topic that I thought was going to be a tricky one. It's the first interview that I'm doing without Alison because it's an experience that I had. So, you know, talking about family separation or when home is not like a happy environment to be in, it's a tough conversation to have, and I'm going to try really, really, really hard not to turn this into like a personal therapy session for me. So if you see me going down that route, just say, Tammy, like, take a step back here. But when my parents separated, I was 14. So one of the things that I remember looking back is that there was other kids in my school and in my class that had parents who were separated, and they never seemed to like bring it up or, you know, mention it as being something they found stressful. So I kind of remember feeling at the time that there was something wrong with me and that I was finding it so difficult. So really what I wanted to chat to you about today is just like, as parents who are going through a separation during those years in particular, how we can, you know, make the best of it, right? And have, you know, the least amount of harm on our kids as we can. Obviously it's going to impact them in some ways, but you work a lot with parents around this, don't you, and around with children in particular?
Yeah, I work with parents of children and teens who've separated or who are about to separate, and I suppose it can span, you know, the spectrum of having a separation that's amicable to something that's a lot more conflictual. And then I suppose it's important to be aware that sometimes a separation can initially be conflictual, but then can become more amicable over time. So it's not like when parents separate that whatever the situation is there and then is going to be what will be in a year or two. Things change over time. And my parents separated as well. I wasn't a teenager. I was in my 20s at the time. But certainly I lived through kind of parents who were inevitably probably going to separate. So I lived through the kind of conflictual side of things, and we traveled to lots of different countries. So I didn't really have extended family to kind of rely on, you know, and I guess it was really hard. And I know that children, teenagers of separated parents can really struggle with that because it can impact on their full lives. You know, it's not just the separation, but what led up to the separation. You know, there can be a lot of conflict leading up to that. Sometimes it can be a relief that that your parents have separated, because that marks maybe the ending of the really heated conflict within the home. And then other times it can also be really difficult because suddenly, you know, your whole life can be upended with your parents living in two different homes and what that means in terms of, you know, your friendships, your schooling, your relationships with each parent, feeling stuck in the middle. I think that is probably one of the hardest things for children, is to feel stuck in the middle. And I certainly have felt that before, and you, I'm sure, have felt that at times as well.
Mm. Going back even before that, though, you know, you hear, well, We all do. We hear a lot about couples saying, oh, we'll stay together for the kids until the kids are, you know, adults. And, you know, from what you said, it sounds like there's never a good time, right? Obviously, the least they need you, the better, because you obviously had some little bit more of independence when you're in your 20s, but it's still not ideal. Is it there always a case to be made for staying together for the kids? Or do you think that causes more trouble in the long term? Is there cases where, you know, they might actually be better off if you are in two different homes?
I think it really depends on how much conflict is there and how deep the issues are. I mean, I think there's always something to be said for, you know, trying to go to counselling, maybe couples counselling, to deal with some of the issues. Trying to figure out, like, the way I kind of look at it, and I ran this Parenting When Separated course a few years ago, which is a course run, you know, it's by Parents Plus, and a lot of separated parents are referred to the Parenting When Separated course, where they attend separately, they don't attend together, they attend separate courses, and it's all about, you know, learning to kind of coexist as parents. And one of the things that really struck me from that course is that when you do separate, it's trying to develop this business-like relationship with this other, with the other parent, almost like your children are the business and you need to kind of, you know, learn to kind of collaborate, communicate, you know, make sure your kids don't get stuck in the middle of all of this conflict, and that you're kind of letting the bygones be bygones in terms of small things you can't control. Because I find with separated parents or parents who are about to separate, small things can become massive things, and, you know, massive reasons why you resent the other person. But back to your question, I think it really, I can't give a generalized answer to that. I think it really depends on your individual situation, whether there is capacity to continue this relationship. But asking yourself as a parent, is me remaining in this relationship possibly causing more harm than actually leaving this relationship? Because sometimes if you stay in something too long, it can become far worse down the line. And that can be more difficult. So I think having adult business-like conversations, which is very hard to be business-like when there's so much emotion involved. But really, if you're thinking about your kids, trying to think of it as this, the business are our children. Let's take a step back from our relationship and see what is best for them and what is best for us as human beings too, because you are a person. You have one life. Just because you're a parent doesn't mean you're not a human being anymore. And what is it that would be best for you? Because when you're well, your children are well, do you know? So if your children see you struggling in a relationship that's really damaging or toxic or whatever way you want to put it, then that's not good for them either. What is that teaching them about healthy relationships? Yeah. What would you say to your child? Would you encourage your child to stay in that relationship? Do you know?
There definitely are instances where it's that, where, you know, people are in relationships where the other person's behavior is not behavior that they think is okay. And they have to have a conversation with themselves about, by staying in this relationship, am I teaching my son or daughter that this is acceptable behavior and that this is a way that you should allow yourself to be treated? And that's a whole other level of complex. So I'm kind of not going to go there today, but I am just thinking about, you know, when parents are just not getting on, right? And it just, the relationship, they're not in love with each other anymore. They're not happy. They want different things. And so how do we talk to our daughters about this conflict that we're having? And it's just, this is a podcast for parents of daughters, but I'm sure it's applicable in all situations. How do we bring it up with them? How do we talk to them? What do we share and what's not their business or their responsibility to know?
Well, I think if you're, and is this when you've decided to separate, once you've made that decision?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think once you've made the decision, and like that's a definite decision by then, you know, even before you make that decision, though, if you're having conflict with your partner or your the other parent, then I think it's important to talk to your child about that as well, because it can really worry them when there's a lot of conflict. But if you've made the decision to separate, I think it's important, like to with the other parent, talk to the other parent first about what the arrangements are going to be. Because very often, like I think just saying, "Oh, me and dad or me and mum are going to separate," with no plan as to what's going to happen, can feel very confusing to a teenager. So I think it's important to, be the bearer of that news and explain. I suppose it depends on the age of the child. If your teenager's 13, you're going to give a different explanation than if they're 17 or 18, obviously. You're going to give more detail when they're a bit older. You're going to give less detail when they're younger. The most important message to give to your child, however, is this is not your fault. And I know that a lot of younger children might feel that more because they personalize a lot of stuff. They've got magical thinking, whereas by the time you're a teenager, you're less likely to. But then you've so many other things going on as a teenager in terms of your self, your identity, your hormones, the pressures of modern life, of school, of social media, all of those things that are going on. So I think if you are when you are going to give this information, ideally you would talk with you would sit down and have the other parent there as well and talk to your child about kind of say, that how we've been fighting a lot in the last few months, or how there's been problems, because obviously your teenager is going to know that. And then say, we've tried really hard to make things work and kind of list out the things that you have tried to make it work. And then, we've come to the decision that it would be better if mommy and daddy weren't together anymore, and that we've decided to separate. And this is nothing to do with the kids. This is adult business. This is to do with mommy and daddy just not getting along anymore and not feeling like we're going to be the best parents to you. And that we're not going to be the best versions of us as human beings. And, this is the plan that we know as of now. And we will let you know. We will keep updating you with more information as we get it, and really be there to listen and to, like, the teenager might be really upset already there or show upset. So I think pace the conversation. It doesn't all have to happen in one go. And I think having conversations with teenagers, it sometimes isn't face to face. It might be on a walk where you're not where you're like side by side walking along, and maybe kind of saying to them, have you maybe asking them what they think of what's going on with the conflict at home, and then maybe gently bringing it up that way, but really being there and holding the space and being kind of like open to whatever reaction is going to come out. You could get a very emotional response. You could get your teen saying, like, completely shutting down and saying, "I don't want to talk about it," and then just going to their room. And I think it really is up to the parent then to not raise it, not keep bringing it up every day, but to raise it, as a topic, and not just think that the conversation is now over and we've now drawn a line under it. Because I'll tell you a story from a Parenting When Separated course that I ran, and this was related to a younger child, that in this one session we were talking to parents about talking to their children about why they separated, and this was a mother who had separated from her husband 2 years earlier. And, we said, between now and next week, can you talk to your child a little bit more about the separation and give a child-friendly explanation about why you separated, about why mommy and daddy are no longer together? And she came back the following week and she just started crying at the beginning of the session and said, "Oh my God, that was so emotional bringing it up with my child. I have avoided bringing up this topic for 2 years because I think my child A is too young, but also because it pains me to bring it up." And she said, "When I told my child that mommy and daddy broke up because of grown-up issues, that we weren't getting along and we didn't love each other anymore, but we still are friends, we're trying to be friends. When I told my child that, my child turned around and said, 'I thought it was all my fault, mommy. I thought it was all my fault. I had done something bold the day before. And that's why I thought daddy left and didn't come back. And like that was really emotional because I kind of, it makes you like, I guess I'm emotional even thinking about it because I think of, when you are the child of a separated parent, you do really take things very personally. And yeah, this might be more like for a 5 or 6 year old who personalized that. But I think this lesson also applies to parents of teenagers who might just shut down. And it's really important, therefore, to just keep letting them know that these are adult issues, that the kids have nothing to do with it, and that, but really hold that space and keep it open for them to talk to you, to, and don't wait for them to bring it up with you because they won't bring it up with you. It's up to you as a parent to do that. And then to keep checking in with them as the separation occurs about how it's working for them. Because I have a mom, for instance, I have a friend who, they're separated years, but now that her daughter is becoming a teenager and is a teenager, she now wants the access arrangement. She would like it to be a little bit different because she wants to be around her friends more in the area, say, where her mom lives. So things change over time, and therefore this conversation is an open conversation, and it's not just a one-off and that's it.
Yeah, and there's a couple of nuanced little things that you've kind of mentioned there that, again, I don't like everyone's experience is different, but there's maybe things that I think about that really impacted me in my relationships, even as a grown woman, that looking back and kind of thinking, yeah, that's where that came from. One of which is I never saw an argument ever between my parents,
Okay.
never once until they separated. Now, I
Really?
didn't, looking back, I didn't see a lot of love between them either, but never saw an argument. And then when they announced they were getting separated, then like all hell broke loose. So now my husband grew up with his parents are still together and they're a gorgeous, beautiful family, and but they bicker sometimes, So when I got married to him, I remember anytime there was an argument being like, well, now he leaves. This is where he leaves because
Interesting.
when there's an argument, whereas he would have no problem having an, like, I will run a million miles away from conflict. He'll have no problem bringing something up and airing it out because it's just something that, it's just an argument. So that's one of the things that I took on myself is, not understanding. So there is a case where, yes, it's not my responsibility or my business really what the actual issues were, but I've gone on later in life to be like, I don't want to make the same mistake. So kind of constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. Does that make sense?
Totally, it 100% does, and that's your
Yeah.
threat focused brain. We all have what's called a threat focused brain, which tries to keep us safe. The number one job of our brains is to survive, rather than is survival. So therefore, your brain, which there has been some trauma that has occurred, obviously from what happened, because I can imagine that. You, if you had no idea that this was coming, and then suddenly being landed with this information, like most of us believe the world to be a safe place. We have to believe that to an extent, because otherwise we wouldn't leave our houses. So literally, this piece of news like ripped the carpet from underneath you. And so therefore, that did have an impact in terms of a traumatic reaction, which then, kind of stayed with you. And then your brain, it's almost like if you look at it, like your brain is there to say to you, Tammy, by the way, like if there's a row, definitely, like there was no rows and your parents separated. There were no rows, your parents separated. So therefore, if there's a row in your current relationship, definitely it's over. Do you know that kind of way? It's like this insecurity has crept into your brain. And because your brain wants to keep you safe, it kind of uses the patterns from back then into your current relationship. But I would imagine, Tammy, that like for me, I have this thing as well that like I earned security with my husband, as in when I was younger, sometimes the attachment is the relationship between you and your caregiver, and we can either have secure or insecure attachment. But sometimes when our attachment is a little bit insecure when we're younger, when it can be a little bit, our needs are not consistently met. Not that they have to be met all the time, but that they are not met at certain points, important points in our lives, that we can feel like, you know, this threat of abandonment, you know. And I know that I certainly did. And I created situations even with my husband where I'd be like, oh, you like your flatmate, you know, you like her, therefore you don't like me. Or, you know, I'd create these scenarios to almost try to make him leave, if you know what I mean. I don't know why, like, and definitely related.
Like a test?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mm.
It's what do you call it? It's called sabotage. It's, you see this in relationships. Sabotage, yeah. It's sabotage, you know. And then he'd be like, I'm not leaving
before.
Yeah,
yeah. That he has to, and that's what, you know. And again, I'm not trying to make it about me, but I like, one of the things that I would like, you know, as a parent, if that ever happened, I would still want my kids to grow up and believe in love and marriage and to have like faith that, you know, their relationships are their own. And you know, not to do that sabotage or to bring that baggage with them, which I know is hard to do, but I suppose it's about, you know, trying to get them through those periods of time and catching those moments where they internalize something that is to do with you and your partner and your separation and not your child. Like, you're embedding it in your child at 14, 15, 16 and not even realizing that they'll carry that into the future. Can I go back to what you said there about like the being stuck in the middle? That's another thing that I definitely remember as well. Because, and again, when you're a teenager, you have a certain amount of autonomy. You have your own life. It's not like a small kid where it's like you get them Monday to Friday. Like, they have their own lives that they want to live. On the one hand, I loved it when the decisions were made for me because it made the guilt easier on me. You know, like the every other Christmas, if I was with one parent at Christmas, I'd be riddled all day that the other parent was without us, you know, and not with us. And when we were told this is the way it's going to be, it meant that that decision was less of my fault. But on the other hand, I still wanted to not feel like I have to play to their timetable all the time, and I don't have that freedom of choice of, well, actually I want to go on a sleepover with my friends this weekend, but because it's like dad's night or mom's night, I feel like I'm letting them down. Is there a way, and I know I'm asking you really hard questions by the way, but is there a way to kind of give them like a little bit of autonomy and leeway but not inflict that guilt or have them feel like they're stuck in the middle? Or are they just going to feel that way to a certain extent anyway?
I think it's, you're always, because you love both parents, you know, it's very hard to like avoid any pain from a separation, do you know? I honestly do. But I think humans, we are designed for pain, if you know what I mean. It all pain brings resilience too. But that's not to say we want our kids to experience pain. But I think everything comes down to the relationship you have with your ex-partner or your ex-husband or your ex-wife or your ex-partner. That is the most important thing, because if that relationship is semi-decent, you don't have to be best friends, God no, you know, but if that relationship is respectful, then you are able to kind of like, the mom can say, look, you know, Julie wants to go on a sleepover this Saturday night. I know that's your night, but it's the only night that, you know, she really wants to go on it. Can we work something out that she goes? So, you know, so in other words, there can be more like flexibility around access when both parents kind of get on, you know. And I know that sometimes there can be like, you know, tensions and fights that arise, you know, between two separated parents, like long after the separation. But really, it's important then to, you know, if you've shattered or it's all about the repair and the kind of taking a step back and going, what's the best thing for my child here? And then, you know, trying to repair with the other person, or at least kind of, you know, coming back into that relationship and trying to keep building that business, like, as I said, respectful relationship with them, because that will increase that flexibility around access.
Yeah, and it is really hard, because when you've been very, very hurt by another person and the relationship doesn't work out, sometimes the child is the only tool you have to hurt them back.
I know.
And it's so, I've seen that happen so many times where it's been like me controlling or denying you access because I want you to feel as the pain that like I feel, which wasn't my choice or my decision. Like that's a, it's really tempting sometimes. I see it to be like, well, I'm going to punish you. And this is the only way that I know to punish you.
Tammy, I have seen the worst. I'm serious. Like from 20 years in the HSE, you know, when I get a referral of a child of a separated parent, very often that can be one of my most difficult referrals. And it doesn't matter what socioeconomic class you're taught. It doesn't even, you know, doesn't, it can be like literally when there are warring parents, you might have one parent saying, psychologist, see my child and tell me that they have this, you know, problem. And then I'll blame it on the other parent. And it's just like, I've seen parents accusing each other of like abusive behavior. Like I've seen it all. I really have. And it comes from a place of, you know, such hurt, but then very different. There can be very different value systems that two parents bring to, to a relationship. And that can be very difficult. You have people maybe of different religions, different, just completely like disagreement with who that, loads of hurt around another person going off with someone else or infidelities, all of that. It can be extremely, and that's why I would say for every parent out there who's going through this, you know, there is a mediation service, firstly, you know, if you need to, and I know people have different kind of experiences with the mediation service. Both parents do need to ring the mediation service separately to actually get an appointment to actually talk about the issues relating to access or different things within their relationship. So there is a mediation service, but I would say personal therapy for any parent who's struggling with trying to disentangle their issues from their child. And they know that their child is being negatively impacted or that they know that the child is kind of being used in a way, not that they're doing it intentionally, but that the child is being caught in the middle. I would say personal therapy because it is a trauma. And, you know, like my mom was angry for years and years and I felt so in the middle. I got married in the middle of that time. I had my graduation. I, you know, and I was like always the one. That's why I became a psychologist. I was the one from a very young age who was trying to fix my parents' relationship. I would even write them letters and say when I was like, I don't know, 13, saying this is your point of view and this is your point of view and why don't you, you know, like how did I know this, why did I even know this stuff, right? But you know, in terms of the baggage that was on my shoulders. But I don't blame my parents at all. I don't at all. I think parents do the best they can, you know, with what
and they're
they have
hurting. Like it's a huge, you know, it's like a death, it's like a grief, and often it's even worse because the person chose, you know, made a choice to leave. Like one of the things that I wish, you know, looking back, that I had had is an outside person. I didn't have an outside person. We were very close to both sides. There was aunts and uncles, but they always had that parent's agenda, you know, like you should, you know, your dad's going through a lot, your mom's going through a lot, you should, you know, do this, you should support them and see it from their point of view. I'm not sure if it was ever never offered to me, but I don't remember having a person separate to my family with no agenda that I could just go and say I'm finding this like really really tough. And like it is worth saying Shona was sick, there was a lot of other stuff going on, so it was a very very stressful situation. But I remember that time as well when I had my first kid and both of them came to visit at the same time, and it was the first time they had been in the same room with me in years, and me just feeling so uncomfortable and stressed, and neither of them probably want to leave, and me just look, please just one of you leave and come back because like this is stressing me out so much. So what advice, I suppose, just to kind of like, I could talk to you all day about this. I think this is maybe a glass of wine sometime conversation between us. But for the girls themselves, what is it important that they know? Or what do you think is the one thing or the most important thing that you would want a young girl who's in my situation or your situation to remember and to be assured of?
Oh God, what I would say to the young versions of us is, it's not your fault. You are not to blame. You are loved by both your parents. Just mommy and daddy are human beings. And, you know, you might have seen them in a particular way. And now that you've grown up, you know, you've kind of, you know, as you're growing up, you realize that they're human beings that are maybe a little bit too different to continue to be with one another. And that it's okay to feel really upset that your parents are, have split up, or that your situation is going to change now. And it's really upsetting when that happens. And it's okay to feel that. And I suppose, you know, like I share how you feel with your friends, share how you feel with whoever you're comfortable with, you know, but it is up to your parents as well to be bringing that up with you and making sure that you're okay. And you might, you know, some teenagers need some counseling. They might need to go and see a counselor, or, you know, sometimes there's a guidance counselor in school. It might be something to bring it up with them, you know, as in a conversation, you know. And then, yeah, I suppose just knowing that you're loved and that this is a really difficult situation. And I suppose for parents, just to be aware, there is, Bernardo's have some really nice resources on their website for, with booklets for you know, if you're going, how to cope with separation for children aged 6 to 12, or else for teenagers as well. They're free ebooks that are on their website. Parents can also go to parentsplus.ie and get some, you know, get access to that Parenting When Separated course. I think they do them online and in person as well. And then there's also parentline.ie, which run a phone line for parents that they can ring, you know, if they need support. So they have like opening hours for to take phone calls from parents. So, but it's just a really hard situation, Tammy. And sometimes there isn't a happy ending. I know that for me, just they're like, I suppose it's just like a roller coaster, and we went through loads of lows, and thankfully my parents now, I would say that they're friends, but they don't see each other a lot. He's in Spain and she's in Ireland. They can still spend time together, but the deep hurt of 15 years ago when they split up is now, or 20, nearly 20 years ago, has got better. It has got better. The deep hurt has got better. But I know for a teenager that's going through this right now, you're thinking of your life and your friends and your school and your, so that's maybe little comfort, but to know that things can and do get better. They can, do you know? Mm. What would you say, Tammy?
Yeah, what I would say is to any young person who's dealing with this is not your story. This is their story, you know, that they made choices, you know, before you were even born and have grown up in different ways and maybe grown apart, and their choices are their own. And when you become an adult and step out into the life and fall in love and create a family, your story, like, it's a blank canvas. And that it won't define you. You know, obviously, look, it's really tricky, and we've been through it, and we know it's really, really tough, heartrending, you know, in some cases, but you will have your own story, and it doesn't have to be anything like theirs. So I think that's something I wish somebody had told me, that I was creating it myself, and I have my own values and my own experiences and my own learning from that, that in some ways made me a better wife and a better mother and a better partner. So yeah, that's one thing that I'd like them to know too. But I think those resources are really, really important. And I should have asked you about that as well.
And our hurts, as you said, are part of our story. Our hurts are part of our story. But it's, you know, you can feel all alone in this sometimes. So, you know, please, parent, if your child, you know, if your teenager is in their room not talking to you, that doesn't mean they don't need connection. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, teenagers need connection maybe in a different way, but they still need connection. And that's such an important thing. They need connection. And they need us to help, you know, help them to organize their feelings. That is part of our role still when they become teenagers.
Yeah, and that's across the board. Mally, thank you so much for talking to me today. I think, you can read all the books in the world and you can have all the qualifications, but I think that lived experience that you have really mean that you understand all angles of this conversation. And I really appreciate you actually being so open and honest with me today. So thank you.
Thank you, Tammy.